Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. A couple announcements as we get started, but I wanted to let you know next week we're going to have a split Sunday school hour with the men and the ladies splitting up. And the men are going to stay in the padded seats in here, and the ladies are going over to the fellowship hall with the donuts. I know. We were going to get mutiny, rebel attacks, if we didn't do that for the ladies this time. And so Brother James and Miss Ariel are going to be teaching our men's and ladies split Sunday school this next week. So just to let you know about that. And then also, I'm sure that you've heard about it, but be praying for those in Texas with the floods and so many people missing and killed. Just tragic, hearing about all the stories from that. So be praying for that, if you would, please. We're going to turn in to Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13. Let me get turned on here. We get the flag here still, so I can't quite see the sound men. They can't see me. Or just from like here below. There we go. We're good. All right. All right. Philippians 4 and verse 13. You know the verse. Let's read it together. And Philippians 4 and verse number 13. We'll read it out loud together. Ready? And begin. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let's read it together one more time, if you would, please. Ready? Begin. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This is our verse for the lesson for today. One of the most famous verses in the Bible would be Philippians 4:13, maybe only behind John 3:16. And those two, I believe, would be probably the most well-known by Christians, by even non-Christians. It's a verse that you'll see at sporting events, or you'll see people have it, on a sign or a poster sometimes as well. But very, very important verse that we're going to look at today and kind of break it down a little bit by little bit and look at what the Lord has for us. But let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the day. Again, thank you for this Sunday school hour. Please speak to us, our hearts, through this verse and help us to learn what you have for us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. This is a verse, again, that you'll see very common. You'll see it on T-shirts, billboards, at sporting events, and different things. A very important verse, but it's important for us to understand what the Bible is talking about with this verse, because I believe that although this is one of the most famous and popular verses in the Bible, it's very common to be taken out of context. It's very common for people to take this verse and apply it to what they want it to, but not what God intended for it. So we're going to look at, we're going to talk for a moment about what does it mean about taking something out of context. You know this when it comes to a political, some kind of an election. What happens? You get a fair fight, right? You get a fair race where you get the one side that's just, telling about their measures and how they're going to proceed. There's never, slinging mud, and they're not going to possibly take someone's speech and cut out a few words from it and one little sentence and play and say, oh, this is what they think. I hope we're wise enough, wiser than that, to realize that people are good at taking something out of context, taking one sentence from a whole paragraph, from a whole speech, not knowing who's being spoken to, what it's about, hearing one little sentence and going, I can't believe they said that. And then you go back later on, you go, oh, that's not what they meant, because they didn't play the whole thing, right? Well, we can't do that with the Bible either. We can't cut out a part of the Bible, cut out a verse, take it out of that chapter, that book, and take it out from the meaning of what it's supposed to mean and make it to fit what we want. The context is this. It's the setting of a conversation or an event. It's the setting. You have to take the whole part, the whole, not just the part of it, to understand what it is talking about. But Bible context, let me go through this for just a moment for those that maybe are not as familiar with studying the Bible or looking at what the Bible says. Let me put it this way. You ever read a verse from the Bible and went, wait, what is that talking about? Right? Or maybe you have someone from a false religion and say, well, the Bible says this. And you went, well, and it stumps you, right? We're all there, by the way, okay? And you get there, you go, what is the Lord saying there? You're like, I know what God doesn't mean, but it seems that the Bible right here is telling me I can lose my salvation. it seems that you have to work for your salvation, you know, all these different things. And so the context to figure out what the passage is talking about is important. Here's how you understand Bible context, all right? Look at who is speaking. We know that God is the author, but who is the human writer that God allowed to write this passage of Scripture? Many times you go to the beginning of the book, and you'll find out many times who the author is from the beginning of the book. Figure out who is being spoken to. Is it speaking to the Jews or the Gentiles, to the lost or the saved, the Pharisees or the disciples? Look at who is being spoken to in the passage to understand the context. Is God speaking to someone that is saved or someone that's lost? That's probably one of the greatest important pieces of context you can figure out. Is God addressing the saved or the lost here to figure out the context? So who is speaking? Who is being spoken to? What are the events surrounding the passage? So it takes some studying. It takes some work. Now, that's something that children don't want to hear in summertime. Study, work, reading, you know, they don't want to hear those kind of things. But you have to go back and sometimes read it over a couple times, the whole chapter. Go to the beginning of the book. What is the setting of this? Are they in battle? Are the Israelites in bondage now? So look at the context of where they are, the surroundings of what's happening, and look at it. If you get to a Bible verse and you don't understand what it's talking about, look at the context, read before and after to get an understanding there. But also look up words and see what they mean. Now, modern English words may not have exactly the same definitions of when our Bible was written. So look up the Bible definition. You can look up a concordance, or you can look up a Bible definition of our King James Bible for what these words mean. It takes some work, but you'll have a better understanding when you come to your Bible if you'll take some time to not just run through reading it, or just to take something that you heard online from a blog, a speech, or whatever, and you say, let me study it out and see what God says. Many people today are gullible. Let's just put it that way. Many people there are very gullible. Oh, I saw it on the news. It must be real. Well, first of all, in today's day and age, more than ever, with the internet, but with AI, right? It's scary to know what is true and what is right. Always go back to the Word of God. Just because someone said it and it sounded fancy or nice, or they've got a slick hairdo, or they've got a big crowd, right? You've got to look at what it, you know, well, they're really sincere. Okay, they can be very sincerely wrong as well. And so let's just take a moment. I'm kind of taking some time to set the setting of this verse, but part of that was just making sure we know what the Bible says and means, and not just taking what anyone says and go, well, I guess it's fact. You're like, no, let's look at what Scripture says. Sometimes we look at the Bible and there seems to be a contradiction. There seems to be something wrong there. Well, if there seems to be a contradiction in the Bible, there's a problem with me, not with the Bible, right? There's a problem with my understanding, not with God and His Word, because God will never contradict Himself, right? Now, God is a God of mercy and a God of judgment, and God is the one that does that, but God will not contradict Himself. The Bible says no Scripture is of any private interpretation. So I can't take this one verse from this passage and create a false religion over one or two verses and cut the rest out. That's how most false religions are started. They take a couple verses, they get their own thoughts, and they start a religion there. Look, take the Bible as a whole, and again, it takes some work, some studying, and some prayer and thought when it comes to that. So now let's get to the verse here, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So what does that mean? I can do anything that I put my mind to. Is that what it means? That's not what it's saying. It doesn't say you can do anything you put your mind to. If you dream it, it will happen. You dream that boat into existence, right? You dream that new purse or shoes into your closet. If you think it, it's going to happen. That's kind of like the scripture verses, ask and it shall be given unto you. So anything I ask, God's going to give it to me. No, that's not what the Bible is telling you. And so that's what I'm talking about. Taking some things out of context. This verse, I've seen it on t-shirts, kids, you know, I can do all things. What's the rest of the verse? No, well, they'll cut it off there. No, it's just not I can do all things. See, that's taking the me part of the verse but taking God out of it. Well, that's now taking out of context. I need the whole verse, the passage, to understand what we're talking about here. This passage we're going to talk about in this lesson today is about having confidence in Christ. And that's the key. The world takes the verse out of context and says, well, I'm going to have confidence in me, in my strength, my abilities, my talents. You know, it's all about me. No. It's not about me. It's about God. I can do all things. Don't forget that middle part of the verse, the key, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So as we look at this verse today about having confidence in Christ, let me kind of set the tone here for a little bit. Having confidence in Christ is this. Confidence in Christ is humility and faith. Having confidence in Christ is having humility and faith. The opposite is this. Confidence in myself is having pride and a lack of faith. Sometimes people say this, well, you know, I don't believe that anyone, I'm not asking anyone to do anything. I don't believe in God. I only believe in me. Well, that's pride, and that's a lack of faith, and that's also foolishness, isn't it? But having confidence in Christ is humility, realizing I can do nothing without Christ. That's humility. But then it's also faith. But I can do anything with Christ according to His will. And that's the key. So this confidence that we have in Christ. Confidence is not a far ways off from pride. So we have to be careful there. You know, I can do anything. Well, I better make sure that I'm trusting in God, not trusting in myself. And so making sure that there's confidence in Christ, not pride in myself, because pride is a destroyer. And humility is putting your faith in Christ, and Christ will lift you up. So this confidence we have in Christ, we're going to take a few words and a couple words at a time through this verse to look at what the Bible says about how we can have confidence with Christ. The first verse is this. What is the first word in Philippians 4:13? I. To have confidence in Christ, it starts with me. There's certain things that other people can do for you, but when it comes to you and God, there's things that only that you can do before Christ. I can't rely on someone else's faith, someone else's religion, someone else's salvation, someone else's walk with God. You say, well, I go to a good church, or my parents, or my family, and we are putting confidence in other people to make sure that we're right with Christ. But no, we need to understand this, that I can have confidence in Christ for me personally. The verse starts out with the word I, and it makes it personal. Makes it personal. Let's put it this way. Your salvation must be personal, right? Your salvation must be personal. A lot of people, because they're a certain religion, well, that means, well, because I have this religion, then I must be going to heaven, right? Well, because I grew up in church and my parents brought me to church, well, then I must be saved. And it's putting your faith in other things or people. But the salvation that I have, it's through Christ, but I don't have salvation unless if I accept Christ personally, right? I have to accept Christ personally. Yesterday was my salvation birth date. July 5th, 1992 is the day that I accepted Christ as my Savior. It's the day that I realized I'm a sinner. I deserve the punishment of hell. Jesus Christ died for me, and I must put my faith in Jesus alone to be my Savior. See, our faith must be personal, right? We can't be living on someone else's faith, someone else's religion, someone else's walk with God. It must be personal. So this confidence I have in Christ, say, I'm not confident in Christ. Well, then let's go back to, are you saved? Are you walking with God? Are you living a separated life? That's something that some things that only you can do. You say, well, my wife's a really good Christian. Well, what about you? Well, my husband, he really walks with God. He prays and he has a lot of faith. Well, what about you? It must be personal. I can't ride on the coattails of someone else. It must be my relationship with God. I must know Christ as my Savior, have a relationship with God. It must be personal. There's some things that we can blame on others' failures. But when it comes to my Christian life, to my faith, I can't blame that on anybody. You say, well, if you only knew what they did to me. Well, you still can walk with God despite what someone else did to you, right? Whether or not they're walking with God or not. I can't blame my failures on others. What happened when God came to the Garden of Eden? Adam and Eve had both sinned, and he came to Adam, and what did Adam say? Well, the woman that you gave to me, she gave me the fruit. And so God said, okay, well, let's go talk to Eve. And he said, Eve, what'd you do? Well, it was the serpent. We're good at passing the buck on others, right? We're good at making excuses and blaming, but our faith must be personal. Must be personal in your heart. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This isn't taking God out of the scenario, by the way. I'm not saying it's all about you and not about God. God's the middle of that verse, that through Christ is the key to this verse. God will always do his part, though. Remember that. But we must do our part. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Number one is this, that our confidence, our faith in God, it must be personal. But then number two, it must be positive as well, right? I was thinking of promise or positive. You can put either one there, but they both fit the alliteration. But to be positive, what's the next two words? Can do, right? Can do. What is your, maybe more of your grandparents than your parents, but they say, can't never did nothing, right? You ever heard that phrase? Terrible English, but a really good truth, right? You know, I can't do it. As a parent, you wouldn't ask your kid to do something they can't do. Go clean your room. I can't do it. Well, yes, you can. Now, you might need to say, can you help me? Can you give me some advice? But yes, you can, because I've asked and I told you to do it. But living for God, having confidence in Christ, says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Have you ever told God, I can't? Right? God said, I want you to, you fill in the blank. You see it in Scripture, God's spoken to you, given his plan for your life, and say, God, I know you want me to do that, but I can't. Maybe we should rephrase that. Instead of saying, I can't, to, I won't. Or, I don't want to. God ever told you to do something? You said, God, I really don't want to do that, right? If I had you raise your hand, you'd all have your hands raised because we've all been there. Say, God, but I really don't want to. And God said, well, that's what I want you to do. And it's in Scripture. And so we've got to do that. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I know the Bible says, but I can't. I know what you want me to do, Lord, but I can't do it. God wouldn't command you to do something that you can't do. You know that? God would never tell you something in Scripture to do that you can't do, but also something that he would not expect for someone else to do, because the Word of God is for all of us. God's never going to show you something in Scripture what to do or not do unless if he could will help you to do it or if it'll be good for you. But also, there's part of God's will. God's will. Now, God's will goes along with the Scripture and the Word of God, but there's things that God will call you and tell you to do, again, that goes along with Scripture. God will never tell you to do something that goes against the Word of God, but something that God tells you to do personally, God's personal and perfect will for your life. And you say, God, but I can't do it. I think of Moses, right? Moses, remember, Moses was raised and he was given up by his mother because they were having all the children being killed, and she sent him off in the river, and Pharaoh's daughter found him, took him to Pharaoh's house, and through God's providence and protection, Moses was raised by his mother, and was taken there, and she cared for him some as well. But Moses, 40 years raised in the palace, but then what happened? He killed the Egyptian because he was hurting the people of God. And then for the next 40 years, Moses goes out to the wilderness. 40 years, he's watching the sheep. And all of a sudden, he comes to that burning bush. And that burning bush, and God's speaking out to Moses. And he says, take your shoes off, for the place where you stand is holy ground. And he took his shoes off, and he came close, and God spoke to him. And what did God tell him? He said, Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt, where he was a fugitive, right? He was the killer. I said, I want you to go back to Egypt. Wait, where? And I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh I want you to let God's people, the Israelites, to go. And he went, God, I can't do that. And Moses made excuse after excuse after excuse of why he couldn't do what God called him to do, what God prepared him to do. He said, I can't do it. And he said, I'll help and speak for you. I'll send Aaron to be with you. And finally, I think the Lord got a little disgruntled with Moses and said, just go. And that's not in the scripture, but exactly word for word. But he said, I can't do it. But God said, yes, you can. Yes, you can. God tells you to do something. You say, God, I can't do it. I can't say that. I can't go there. I can't stop that. God says, yes, you can. I can do. As a Christian, we must have a positive and confident and confidence in the Lord. Some people are positive by nature. Should we get a raise of hands on this? How many of you, you're just a positive person. It's just going to turn out good. It's all great. We're going to get there. All right? How many of you, you're a little more on the negative side, if you're going to be honest, right? Hey, we have honest people here today. You're like a little negative. Just, you know, you're the glass half empty, not the glass half full. And then the pessimistic people that are not, they're the lukewarm. They're not one way or the other. Like, I don't really know. I'm not sure which one I land in. It depends the situation, I should say. So maybe sometimes more pessimistic at times. Want to be more on the positive side. But as a Christian, if God's called us to do it, I can do. I can. That's that positive attitude. If God's called me to do it, I can do it. Again, it's not the power of positive thinking. I can do anything I put my mind to. I can think it into existence. No, that's garbage, all right? I can do, but look at this, the next few words. All things. Look at that. Not some things, not most things. I can do all things. All things. You know, many times we come to Scripture and we say, God, I can do that, I can do that, I can do that. I can't do that one. I can do that. Kind of like, you know, you're checking off your medical history stuff. You know, yes, 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 no, you know, going through there. I can do, God, I'll do most of the things you want me to do. God said, no, all things, all of them. I can do all things through Christ. Not some things, but all things. The things that God has commanded you to do. The things that God has planned for you to do. See, God has a perfect plan for your life, doesn't He? Do you believe that? That God created you, that God has saved you if you've trusted in Christ as your Savior, and then God has a perfect plan for your life. And God will lead you in your life, and you say, God, I don't know if I can do that. If there's something that God has planned for you, He's commanded for you, He's directed you, well, then you can do it. Maybe you say, I just can't read my Bible. Well, yes, you can, right? I just can't pray. It's just hard for me. Well, yes, you can. I think sometimes we think, well, the Christian life is easy for everyone else but me. You ever think that before? For other people, it must just be automatic. They just always are reading their Bible and praying and singing and always doing what's right. It's a struggle and it's a battle for all of us. You can read your Bible. Amen? You can walk with God. You can pray. Think, well, I can't tell someone about Jesus. That's just not my gift. Guess what? Being a gospel witness is not a gift. It's a command. Telling people about Jesus is not, well, that's for them, but it's not for me. No, you can do that too. If you're saved, that command's for you. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Think, well, I can't quit this bad habit. It's been with me my whole life. It's been passed down from generation to generation. I can't quit it. It's just part of my DNA. No, yes, you can. You can have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. I can do all things. Maybe you fill in the blank. Well, I can't do. That's you saying it, not God. And the key is the next part of the verse. I can do all things, and the next phrase is, through Christ. I can do anything. Think about this, though. If God can make the donkey to talk, right? If God can part the Red Sea and they walk across, not on wet ground, but on dry ground. If God can make the sun stand still, should we go any further? If Jesus can walk on water, We were in the pool the other day, and Charlotte goes, she goes, "Dad, I'm walking on water." I said, "No, you're not walking on water. You're walking on the bottom of the pool, not on the top of the water. There's a difference there." But if God can do all those things, can't God help you fill in the blank? Can't he? See, God can do anything, but also God can use anyone. You say, well, God can do that. God can answer their prayers, but he can't answer mine. Why? You think I've got special access to God that you don't have? You know, pastor, pray with me about this. Sure, I'll pray with you, but you should be praying too. Amen? If God can use the Apostle Paul, that was once Saul, the persecutor of the church, consenting to the death of Stephen. If God can use Paul, well, God can use you too. If God can use David, if God can use Peter, if God can use Rahab the harlot, I mean, we could go through Scripture and say, well, God can use them, but he can't use me. We could go through the church house. No, God can use you as well. Let's not give God the excuses, but let's just say, God, I'm going to put my faith in you. That's what confidence in Christ is. It's about faith. Confidence in Christ, it's powerful. I can do all things through who? Christ. That's the key to the verse. I can do all things through who? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We'll get to the last phrase in a bit. If you ever think this, I can't, follow it up by saying this, but God can. Amen? Now that's a good place to be as well. Humility is, God, I can't. You're right. I can't, but God can. God's Jesus Christ said this, without me, you can do what? Nothing. Without me, you can do what? Nothing. But through Christ, nothing will be impossible, the Bible says. It's powerful to have confidence in Christ. Not through me, not through my strength, not through my intelligence, not through my works, but through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Not because of my abilities. I think that's many times where I think I can't. Well, I'm not talented enough. Since when does God need talent? Right? Well, I'm not smart enough. Well, since when does God need smarts? Right? I'm not fill in the blank. Well, I can't, but God can. Remember in 1 Corinthians, I forget the end of part of the end of the book there, where it says that God used the base things of the world, the things that are foolish. He uses all the things that are not to do something for Christ. So many times the people that think, you know, they have that confidence, but it's really a pride. Oh, I can do it. You're going to fail. If I think I've got this, well, I'm going to fall. But through Christ, God will help. We put too much confidence or lack of confidence in ourselves. Stop looking in the mirror when God gives you a command. Stop looking in the mirror when God tells you what to do, and just look to God and say, I can't, but God can. I can do all things through who? Christ, which strengtheneth me. I think of David comes to the battle and to the valley of Elah, and he hears Goliath, and he sees his brothers hiding there, and he comes there bringing his brothers food, and he's like, what's going on here? What's happening? Why are you hiding? When you're in battle, you shouldn't be hiding. You know, it wasn't a sneak attack that they were getting ready for. They were hiding from Goliath. And David came out there and said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? And his brothers doubted him. The king doubted him. And what happened? He went to Goliath. And he said to Goliath, I've been training my whole life to defeat you. Is that what he said? No. He didn't say, I've got this in my own strength. He said this, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But he said this, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. David wasn't coming in his strength and his abilities. Yes, he killed the lion. Yes, he killed the bear. But that's not why he killed Goliath, right? He killed Goliath because he came in the name of the Lord. See, confidence in Christ is powerful. Goliath thought, man, I'm going to feed you to the birds today. But he didn't realize that he was the one that his life was about to end, because God was on the side of the little boy out there facing the giant. You think, well, I can't. Nope, but God can. I can do all things through Christ. And the last phrase is this, which strengtheneth me. When I'm weak, then he is strong. Right? When I'm weak, he is strong. We have so much, again, of putting faith in our flesh, in our bodies. Well, guess what? I get tired sometimes. You? You get tired. You get weak. You know, you want to fail, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So when I go to God and I pray and I walk with God and say, God, I can't do it, but I'm going to go in your strength and in your power. And then God gives you strength to do his will. You say, God, but I can't do it. I can imagine Moses going to Pharaoh, and I can imagine his knees were shaken, right? He was trembling a little bit. And he came and said, God said, I want you to let my people go. And Pharaoh, after 10 plagues, finally, he said, okay, take them and get them away. But then as soon as they got to the edge of that Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army came closing in, and God put that pillar of cloud and fire behind them to protect them, and he opened up that Red Sea through the night, and they went across on dry ground. And God destroyed the armies. The children of Israel never had to fight that army one time, because in God's strength, he defeated the whole army. Again, too many times I'm looking at me when I'm facing the battle. So the question is this, what battle are you facing now to where you're thinking, man, God, I don't know if I can do it. God, I don't know if I can go through this struggle. I don't know if I can do whatever you've commanded me to do, to be a witness, to read my Bible, to pray, to give up this sinful habit. I don't know if I can do it. And you say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Instead of saying, I can't to God, then say it right. Say, I won't. And say I can't, say, well, God, I don't want to do it. We shouldn't say either of those, by the way. But if we're going to say it, let's say it right. And instead of saying that, you ever catch the words coming out of your mouth? Say, God, would you please help me to do it, right? God, let's not argue with the Lord. That's never a good place to be. If God is leading and if God is commanding, we should just say yes, right? If God is leading, God is commanding, just say yes. Say yes, Lord. And then when you say, well, I'm stepping out by faith. I think of Peter stepping out in the water. God, if it's you, bid me to come to thee. And he steps out on the water and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. If God is leading, if God's commanding, just say yes. Here it is. Trust that God can and will help you. God can and he will help you, but also that God will go with you. God's not telling you to go somewhere he will not go with you. He said, I'll be with you. I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. See, that's confidence that I have. I'm not going by myself. I'm going with Christ. If God's called you, if he's commanded you, he will go with you. He will help you. That God will give you wisdom. You say, but I don't know what to say. You pray. You pray and say, God, help me to say what I should and not what I shouldn't. Don't forget both parts of that. Help me to pray and help me to say what I should and not what I shouldn't. God, would you give me wisdom? I don't know what decision to make. And then say, God, would you give me strength? Give me strength. See, when I'm weak, then he is strong. But too many times when I think I'm strong, and we say, God, I've got this. You ever do that, right? God, I've got it figured out. I can do this. And then you fail, and then you come back to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I do need your help. Would you help me? What if this week you just applied this verse to every scenario and situation that God puts in your place and say, God, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I gave you a challenge a couple weeks ago. We don't have class in here, but I challenge you this week to take this verse and every day to quote Philippians 4:13. If you don't have it memorized, memorize it. Very simple, very short verse. But I want to challenge you every day this week to quote this Bible verse, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let's pray and we'll take our offering this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for the lesson. Thank you for the truth and the Word of God. Lord, I know the areas in my life where I struggle, where I lack faith, and sometimes where I fail because I'm not applying this verse to my life.